From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we present an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is J.W. Richards, author of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. And it is with a good friend, Dr. J. Richards. I'm always trying to bring people to my audience that are interesting, informative, and inspirational. And Jay fits the bill perfectly. He's executive editor of The Stream. He's a research professor in the School of Business and Economics at the Catholic University of America, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. He holds a PhD with honors in philosophy and theology from Princeton Theological Seminary. He's the author of many books, and of course, we've done podcasts with Jay on some of those books, including the book Money, Greed, and God, The Christian Case for Free Enterprise. He was the co-author of the hugely popular book and video, The Privileged Planet. Also, several months ago, we offered Jay's book, The Human Advantage, The Future of American Work in an Age of Smart Machines. And now I am thrilled to feature on this podcast Jay's brand new book. It's out this month, the month of January. It's titled Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul. It's a Christian guide to fasting. It's released by Harper One. And I did an endorsement, which is on the back of the book, that says this: Richards is a polymath, one you can trust. And Eat, Fast, Feast is trustworthy and true. If you're confused about when to eat and when to abstain from eating, don't delay. Read today. I did. And the results have been transformational. Sort of interesting how this book fell into my lap. I had just finished my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And I was deciding on who I would get to endorse the book. And one of the people I thought about immediately was J. Richards. Well, I asked him to endorse the book, and he wrote back, "Yeah, I'd love to read it." Wrote a great endorsement. He said, "Is it possible for Hank to do an endorsement for my new book?" So I got an advance copy. I read the book, but the timing of that was incredible. Some of you may remember that I did a transplant exactly 204 days ago now. So I'm 204 days out from the transplant. Well, to do the transplant, a stem cell transplant, you have to be in remission, and it was very, very difficult for me to go into remission. They were trying all kinds of chemotherapies, and nothing was really working. The tumors were very aggressive. They were throughout my body. They were protruding from my body, under my jaw, in my neck, two huge ones in my groin, and nothing was bringing me into remission. Well, a priest in the Orthodox Church had sent me a documentary that he wanted me to watch on fasting. We watched the documentary, and the documentary starts with the practice of fasting back in the 50s in Russia. It migrates to Germany, eventually to USC. And we watched this documentary. I was so interested in it, I watched it with my special assistant. We watched it together. We decided on the basis of watching it that this was not just anecdotal evidence, but this was peer-reviewed evidence. We followed all the trails and decided, to make a long story short, that this would be the thing that I should do, and perhaps it would get me into remission. So before I would take a regimen of chemotherapy, I would fast a three-day water-only fast. And sure enough, I went into remission. The theory being that the chemotherapy would be more efficacious in destroying the cancer cells and less harmful on the good cells. Well, I did the transplant. I got the endorsement for my book from Jay. I got a copy of his book, started reading it, and lo and behold, Jay was singing a very similar tune. So this book, the very book that we're going to be talking about today, Eat Fast Feast, fell into my hands at exactly the right time. And so, Jay, I am indebted to you in many ways. You've been a great guest on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, on the Hank Unplugged podcast. I love what you've written, but this book has absolutely been transformational for me. So I'm glad with that long prologue to have you on the podcast today.
Hank, it's great to be with you. I mean, it really is quite a story. I mean, obviously, providential timing. And I, you know, my own discovery of fasting was in many ways really very serendipitous and not honestly as inspiring as the one you just told. I mean, it was essentially, I had tried fasting on and off for decades. My wife and I tried it in the 1990s when Bill Bright was talking about 40-day fasts, and did it for a while, managed to do 24-hour fast, and kind of, you know, just found it really hard. And we still do, you know, the kind of short fast that Catholics would do, little tiny ones, you know, and abstentions from meat on Fridays during Lent, kind of minor things. But it was really only as a result of a medical procedure that I had to go 36 hours without eating anything. And it turns out I was actually eating a really low-carb diet at the time. And noticed 36 hours in that I felt really lucid. My brain was clear. My mind was clear. I was working out, feeling strong. I thought, this is very strange. So I thought, well, do it, what everybody does. I Googled information on fasting, only discovered there's this growing trend, of course, starting in California, of people doing major fasts, and a growing body of scientific research extolling the various physical benefits of fasting, quite apart from the spiritual benefits. And so I just, the sort of irony of that just about the time that most Christians, with the exception of Eastern Rite and Eastern Orthodox Christians, have quit fasting, tech bros in California and scientists would discover the physical benefits of fasting. And so the book is my attempt to try to connect those things, to say that, look, God has created us from the dust of the earth and the breath of God. We are this hybrid of the physical and the spiritual. There's no reason to assume that those things need to be separated. And if fasting is something that God wants us to do, which I think it is, we should expect that it's going to be beneficial, not just spiritually, but physically as well.
And it certainly has been for me. And I've often said that God is not interested in healing us physically. He's interested in healing the whole of us. We're body-soul unities, as you just alluded to. And I think that was very, very important in my digesting this book, because this book is not only dealing with the physical, but the metaphysical aspect of our humanity as well. And I was so intrigued by the way you tied together a diet, so to speak, and fasting. And I have for years just thrown up my hands with respect to dieting, because I thought, I don't know what's true. You read so many different books on dieting, new ones coming out all the time, so many different opinions. I didn't know who to trust, what to believe. When your book came, the reason I trusted this immediately is I trust you in areas that I know that I'm very conversant with. And so I decided this would be trustworthy as well, particularly because I know that you practice what you preach. In other words, this is not just something that you're writing about. This is something that you're actually doing. You're practicing this lifestyle. Not only that, but you practiced and taught things in the past that you no longer believe in the present, because you had sort of bought into the typical narrative that's rampant in the culture.
No, that's right. I mean, what's funny about this for me is that this has always been sort of my avocational interest. I was a strength trainer in college, and so I not only helped train with weights and diet routines at sports teams where I went to college, but also any students as part of my job. If a student wanted to come in and get on a health and fitness plan, I would put them on it. In the time, this is the late 1980s, the conventional wisdom was eat a really, really low-fat, high-complex carbohydrate diet. And there's, unfortunately, I've got former student colleagues out there that I'm, you know, I need to apologize to, but this was a kind of conventional wisdom that emerged in the 1950s. I think it was well-meaning, but new research has suggested something quite different. And so that was, you know, something I had to sort of overcome, this idea that, no, in fact, dietary fat is not the villain. It doesn't cause all of these health problems that we've been told. And in fact, the so-called standard American diet, where we eat very highly enriched, highly refined carbohydrates constantly in our diet, and we eat frequently throughout the day, that combination of grazing and simple carbohydrates all the time is actually a source of many of our problems, type 2 diabetes and obesity and many other things. And so it was that sort of combination of things that, okay, we dropped out of fasting, at least Christians in general, in the body of Christ, right about the time that we started eating in such a way that makes, as it happens, fasting really, really hard to pull off. And so I realized that that's not actually a coincidence. Fasting is always supposed to be a sacrifice, but it shouldn't be torture. Whereas for most people, going even 4 or 6 hours without eating anything is torture. That should tell you, okay, we're doing something wrong, because that shouldn't be torture, because most of human beings for most of human history went extended periods of time throughout the year without eating, and they got by just fine.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with J.W. Richards. Eat, Fast, Feast by J.W. Richards reveals that God is interested in more than just our physical health. He's interested in healing the whole of us, body, soul, and spirit. Eat, Fast, Feast outlines a plan for the ancient Christian practice of intermittent fasting that can help you experience deeper life in Christ. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-giving outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The book Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul is a true gift to Christians eager to grow spiritually as they get healthier physically. What makes this book unique? J.W. Richards draws on the ancient church's centuries-old practice of intermittent fasting as a way of life in Christ unknown to many modern Christians. Most books that promote diets focus solely on the physical. Eat, Fast, Feast is different because it isn't merely promoting a diet. It's a 6-week plan for a powerful paradigm shift and genuinely holistic health that could make this the healthiest year of your life. To receive your copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and J.W. Richards in their conversation.
Most human beings, for most of human history, went extended periods of time throughout the year without eating, and they got by just fine. And so that it's kind of, in many ways, several different puzzle pieces that came together in this book. And as you said, it really started as experimenting on myself for a long time. I didn't set out to write a book on this. I was doing it for my own spiritual and physical health, and just, you know, found some of these missing pieces that hadn't all been put together.
What's interesting about what you're saying from my perspective is that the fasting and the eating together have changed me in terms of appearance. As I sit here right now, I'm 170 pounds. I was 214 for most of my tenure as president of the Christian Research Institute. My waist size is now 33 to 34, right in that range. And so my waist size is about half my height. Before, I would have had to be 7'6" based on my waist.
Right for a really tall guy.
If I was taller, it would have been better. But yes, this is actually not something that I'm talking about as though it's a great theoretical idea. This is something I put into practice. I went through your 40-day program. It's actually 46 days, but there is a magic, so to speak, and perhaps that's the wrong word to use, but there's a certain authenticity to using the number 40. So you didn't arbitrarily choose to start people on a 40-day program. It actually has a biblical basis.
It does. I mean, in that number 40, Christians that read the Bible all know this, you know, 40 years in the desert with the Hebrews who became the Israelites. There was Jesus 40 days in the desert of fasting before his earthly ministry. That number comes up a lot. And of course, in the Christian liturgical tradition, Lent is effectively a 40-day period. As you said, it's 46 because it's basically 40 regular days and six little mini feasts on Sunday. So it lasts 46 days. This is a long-standing Christian tradition that emerged precisely from early Christians sort of reflecting on Jesus's 40-day fast, a really hardcore fast that very few of us would ever actually be able to accomplish. But saying, how can we enter in to this sacrificial time in the time leading up to the great feast of Easter? And so that's where Lent came from. And as it just so happens, if you're not used to fasting and if you're not used to using this type, the part of your metabolism that allows your body to burn fat effectively, you can sort of think of the human body as a hybrid. We can burn sugar using carbohydrates, but our bodies can also convert fats into these fuels called ketones and use those perfectly well as well. But because of the way we eat, most of us don't ever actually produce a lot of ketones. We don't really use fat for fuel. And so if say you've spent decades just eating the standard American diet, it takes you a little while for your body to get used to burning fats for fuel. And I argue that's actually what you need to be able to do to really sustain fasting for a lifetime. It takes about 40 days, as it turns out, for your body to make that transition where it's actually easy to do that. And so that's the six-week plan in the book is designed for people that have never really fasted or fasted successfully to slowly transition, I think, in the most painless way possible to adjust your body and your practices and your habits so that fasting just becomes a part of your daily and your weekly and your seasonal lifestyle from here on out.
Until I started following this method, I mean, I was never able to get rid of my stomach. My stomach is gone.
Wow.
I have a couple guys sitting here in the studio that can look at me. I'm telling you the truth. I have no stomach anymore. It's gone. But that's because I've been burning that fat. This was a fat reserve, right? Yeah. So I've been burning fat instead of burning sugar. I've turned from a...
No, that's right. Yeah, and it's a really good design for most of human history. If you think about, okay, for most of human history, people would sometimes, you know, especially if you're in a hunter-gathering lifestyle in which you're hunting animals, you have a bounty, and so you eat it, but you don't have a refrigerator, so you don't have a lot of really easy ways to store that stuff. And so you eat as much as you can. You might add a little extra weight. But then you might go long periods of time where you don't have a whole lot to eat, especially during the winter, and your body would need to be able to use those reserves. So if you have fat body fat reserves on your body. That's food energy that your body's reserving for a time when you don't have a lot of food. And then you're able to kick into that fat-burning metabolism. It uses that rather than storing it. The irony of our modern way of eating is we're basically telling our bodies, burn only sugar, just use all the sugar, and any extra that you eat, store that as fat on your body, but put it away really far away, like in a deep freeze where your body can never access it. And so we can be walking around with 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 extra pounds of food energy on our bodies, and yet it's sequestered so that our bodies can't actually use it. That's the irony. And so we actually end up scrambling what is actually a really good design for getting us through periods of food scarcity. But the blessing of the modern age is that most of us never encounter food scarcity, and that is indeed a blessing, but it comes with this cost if we don't recognize and replicate in our lifestyles this kind of more natural pattern of eating, that is eating modestly most of the time, fasting some of the time, and feasting every so often. That's the pattern, the kind of punctuated pattern in life that I think God has designed us to live. And we've gotten out of that so that we just basically eat all the time, and then we feast some of the time too, which just means eating more than we normally do. That's not the pattern that I think is best for our design plan.
There's a certain resistance that people have to fasting, particularly in the Christian world. First of all, the general population fasting, people are just used to gorging, particularly in America, and gorging on the wrong foods. But Christians are also a little reticent about fasting. It's as though this is a works-based kind of an idea. You have images in your head, as you write about in the book, about extreme cases of fasting and abstinence. And so... since the time of Jörg Zwingli, there has been sort of a bias against fasting, very much like there's a bias in the Christian world today against the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Talk about that and how to overcome that bias.
Absolutely. And I'm aware of this in large part because it was in my own mind for a long time. I thought of, especially if I thought about, you know, like Catholics that I knew marginally, and I knew, well, they ate fish on Fridays. And that seems sort of arbitrary if you don't have the kind of historical context for it. And then I knew, well, Jesus never really explicitly commanded us to fast. Yes, he fasted, but he never told us to do it. So I don't see that maybe it's not all that important. And then, as you said, it's just hard to do if you try it and you think, okay, this is going to be a spiritual discipline, and you're just fixated on food and dreaming about donuts. It's hard to see how that's going to sort of bring you into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And as you said, sort of early, even though Calvin and Luther themselves didn't oppose fasting and in fact participated in it, Zwingli was actually sort of really hostile to it because he associated it with the works righteousness of the Catholic Church at the time. And so that was a kind of mental association. And so that has continued into the present, so that a few decades ago when Richard Foster, the great evangelical Quaker who wrote wonderful books on spiritual disciplines, wrote a book on fasting, he said he could find almost none in the evangelical world at the time. Some of that has changed. Certainly in the 1990s, Bill Bright with Campus Crusade for Christ started talking about fasting. But nevertheless, it tends to be this kind of episodic thing where there'll be a sort of fasting craze in which Christians will do it for a little bit, but then it peters out. And I think in part that's because the way we're eating and our lifestyles are so contrary to it. But also I think it's because we tend to be sort of pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. And in fact, if we look at the wisdom of the ages, if we look at the sort of long span of human history, what we find is that Christians fasted at particular times during the week and according to the particular liturgical seasons around Easter and Christmas. And so we're sort of we're locked in some ways, sort of external to ourselves, and it become a real thing. And so if we look at Christian history, not just since 1517, but since the very beginning, look at what early Christians did for 1,000 years at least, and what many Christians do to this day, we find that fasting is a central part of the Christian life. It's as central as praying and gathering together in worship. And it's just something that, unfortunately, we have mostly dropped in the modern age. And I am absolutely convinced that it's the thing that we need to recover if we're going to really see spiritual renewal across the body of Christ.
Let me just augment what you said. I mean, if you go to the Old Testament, you'll find that Esther fasted from food and water for 3 days and three nights, and then begged the Jews in the province of Susa to do the exact same thing. And through that, they averted the genocidal plot of Haman, who was the personal advisor to the Persian king Xerxes. And then Saul was 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank, and thereafter there fell from his eyes what are described as scales, and he received his sight. He arose, he was baptized. You think of the church at Antioch. They fasted and prayed as Saul turned. Paul was being set apart for his glorious commission as apostle to the Gentiles. And you alluded to this as well, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus places fasting on par with prayer and almsgiving as an act of righteousness, not to be seen by men, but by our Father who sees what is done in secret. I want you to elaborate on that a little bit, because Jesus is tying together prayer, almsgiving, and fasting as a three-braided cord. All three are graces that we learn within the context of the church, and they're transformative.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with the author of Eat, Fast, Feast, J.W. Richards. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you a copy of Eat, Fast, Feast, Heal Your Body While Feeding Your Soul, A Christian Guide to Fasting. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.